Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. Great to be together. Wonderful to be able to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to Romans chapter 16 as we come to the very end of our letter. But before we read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word, which is rich and true. We pray that you would bless it to our hearts. Use it to nourish us and feed us, that we might grow in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 16, and we're going to be looking at the first 16 verses this afternoon. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Centria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junior, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachycus. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Well, you might think this is a funny way to, or maybe a funny passage to have a devotion on, but it's the Word of God, and it's there for a reason. Paul, as he's signing off his letter, as he's coming to the very end, gives us this great list of greetings, 15 greetings all in all, 16 if you count the greeting given to, or the regards given to Phoebe as well. But all of it's there for a reason. And so I want us to just notice something about these names that we're given by the Apostle Paul. Notice firstly the amount of people he knows. He hasn't been to Rome. He hasn't been to Rome yet. And yet he knows this wealth of people, this huge group of people he is aware of. Which tells us a couple of things. Firstly, it tells us that he cares greatly about the wider church. He's not just focusing on his own work and ignoring everything else that's going on. He cares deeply about what's happening even over in Rome and in different areas. You see this legitimate care, desire, and love for the wider body of Christ. But then also notice the warmth with which he speaks. You see Paul's love, don't you? You hear it the whole way through. Greet so-and-so for this reason. Greet so-and-so. Greet so-and-so. It's not just an arbitrary greeting. Often, when I write letters to people, it's, oh, say hey to those people. If I write an email to a pastor of a church, I'll say, pass my love on to the people. But I never sort of go through the list and say this to so-and-so and say this to so-and-so. But you see Paul's love, his intense love for the people there. But notice also the honor which he gives to women. It's really important. Paul honors a number of women in this list. Why is that important? Well, one of the challenges that is often thrown at the Reformed world, and especially at Paul, is that we don't care about women. We mistreat them, especially Paul. Paul is the chief misogynist. He is the chief hater of women, and all he wants to do is belittle them and remove their ability to be active in the church. Well, it's absolute nonsense. In this section here, you see Paul crediting women with amazing work, giving them immense responsibility, and time and time and time again, thanking them and greeting them. You cannot read this list and think that Paul hates women, wants to belittle them, or doesn't think they're important. And I've heard all of those things stated about the Apostle Paul in my liberal education at the Bible college I studied at. However, Paul, with the same passion that he loves women, he loves having women serve in ways that honour Christ. And so on one hand, he can say women cannot teach or preach, women cannot be elders or deacons. He can also say, serve with all your heart. Strive as a widow. Strive as a mother. Strive as a wife. Strive as a daughter of Christ. And on and on and on. He loves women to be active in the church because he knows, as we know, that the church cannot flourish without women playing the role that God has given them to play. However, just like Paul wants the men to fulfill the roles they've been given, he equally wants the women to fulfill the roles they've been given. And so the important question for us is to wrestle with the scriptures and see what things God is specifically commanding us as image bearers to do, as men and as women image bearers. But then notice also the types of things that Paul honours in this list. He honours those who serve well. You can think of Phoebe. He says to our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church, welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. Help her in whatever way she may need. She has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Phoebe is the woman who carries this letter to the Roman church. She is given that responsibility. She is called a servant of the church. Some translate that as deacon. I personally wouldn't agree with that translation. I think it's probably not referring to a title, very unlikely in fact. But either way, she's called a servant. Now that word, the diakonos, servant, deacon, that word there is used in a number of different ways. Paul uses it and applies it to himself even as an apostle. So it's a very, very important role to fulfill, serving the body of Christ. And he honours her for the way that she self-givingly, self-sacrificially loves the church by serving it, dying to her own desires, being willing to carry a letter, maybe even have her life threatened in order to serve the family of God. And we too should honour those who serve the church. We should thank them. We should give them praise and credit where credit is due. However, also notice that he honours those who sacrifice themselves. Have a look at verse 3 and 4. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Paul honours Prisca or Priscilla and Aquila. We remember them from the Acts. He honours them because they were willing to risk their own necks. They stuck their heads out on the block in order to protect Paul and save Paul. It's an honourable thing to die to ourselves for the sake of the body of Christ, to be willing to die to our own life in order to preserve the life of another. And that was exactly what they embodied. They did the very thing that Christ exhorted us to do, to die to self and follow him and love one another. However, also notice he honours those who work hard. Verse 6. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. It is an honourable thing to work hard in the church. Church is not a bed of roses. It requires work, requires effort, requires labour. And we should honour those who work hard in our midst, those who put in the time, those who put in the effort, those who expend their energy for the sake of building up the body of Christ. We should honour them. We should thank God for them. We should pray for them. And we should support them. But then notice also he honours those who suffer. Verse 7. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Andronicus and Junia, fellow prisoners. Paul honours them for the price that they paid. You know, there's a real temptation to begin to judge people who get arrested and try and consider whether they're truly persecuted or not. This was seen when pastors in Canada were arrested for meeting for worship. Now, some of us may disagree with whether they should be worshipping or not, whether they should have done that, but they suffered because of their faith, because of their decision to honour the Lord in that way. And we saw people viciously attacking them on the internet for that decision. We should honour those who are suffering. They left behind families as they were locked away for 6 and 7 weeks. They left behind wives and children to fend for themselves. We should honour those who suffer for the Lord. We should pray for them. And as we think about the persecuted church throughout Asia and throughout the Middle East and throughout Africa and other places, we should care for them and love them. You know, there's a great little app you can download on your phone called the Joshua Project. And it helps you see the unreached church. And we should pray for them. But we often spend lots of time praying for the unreached people. But we should spend just as much time praying for the persecuted church, which suffers so horribly. The church is never without suffering, and we must bear it up with our arms. But then lastly, I want us to notice one more person, and it's Rufus. Have a look at verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Who's Rufus? Well, I wonder if you can remember the part in the Passion narrative where Jesus has to carry his cross beam and he can't, and someone carries it for him. Do you remember that part of the story? I'm sure you do. And there's a man there. There's a man there who has to carry it for him, Simon of Cyrene. And in Luke's account, he tells us something really important. Luke says that his sons are someone, I've forgotten his name now, someone and Rufus. This is the same Rufus. You might think, why is that important? Well, isn't it a blessed reality that Jesus Christ, on his way to suffer and die, has to give his crossbeam over to someone else, and in doing that, that testimony that took place, that came forth, that led to the salvation of Simon. Simon's wife, we're told, and his children. And so here we find Rufus, the son of the man that carried the crossbeam of Jesus Christ, and we see the efficiency of the saving work of Christ. Isn't that a blessed reality? Can you imagine being able to write in your greeting to someone, pass my love on to the man who carried the crossbeam of Jesus and his children? Well, it is just a list of names in one sense, but in another sense, it's all part of a wonderful story of God's work of grace in our lives. Because the reality is, the same God who worked redemption for these people continues working today, redeeming more people for himself. And so we could add to that list many names of people we could send greetings to, of whom God has worked. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the way that you work among us, the way that you worked among the church in Rome, and we pray that you would continue to do that work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another daily devotion. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon. God bless.